Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Maseches Krisos Daf Gimel. We begin on line 4 off the top of the Yomid. Amar Rabbi Lazar. He quotes Amar Bishya. Kol Malkim Shata Moitzei Shnei Lavin Bekaris Echad. Suppose you have two transgressions, two averis, which are bundled together under the same karis. So there's only one mentioning of karis in the Torah. If one violates these consequences, karis, premature death. But it's preceded by two lavin. Don't do this, don't do that. If one does them, there's karis. So it's one karis, but a double lav. Now comes the question. Suppose he transgressed both in the same he'elin, the same forgetfulness, not realizing that they're us. So it's chayv chatos. Chatos is the flip side of the karis, right? So if it's b'shegeg, there's a chatos to atone for that inadvertent transgression. How many? One, as per the single karis. So shall we view the chatos as the flip side of the karis, one chatos, despite being involved in two experiences? Or is it the law that triggers the chatos? Which in this case, there are two. One lav per experience, for a total of two chatois. So he says, the answer is two. Kol mokim shata moisei shnei lavim v'karis echad. Wherever you have two lavs, two do-nots, v'karis echad, even though it's summed up in one karis, chiluk chatois benin. That divides them into two separate chatos liabilities. The very fact that the Torah splits them into two lavs is considered as though, so explains Rabbi Gershom, it's as though it repeated karis once and again. So each one is distinct and unique, separate from the other. Umayhi, give me an example of a double lav with a single karis. Mefatim besach. The Torah warns against preparing the fragrant oil and also applying the fragrant oil on oneself. Tichsiv, we have a lav, one per, but one karis for both. Al b'sar adam le'yisach, it should not be smeared on a person. Uve maskundu l'sasu kamay, nor should you copy the recipe. But then it only concludes with one karis. Karis echad, achsiv asher yurkach kamay, one who makes this, you know, concoction, v'asher yitim men ozor, or places it on a stranger, v'nichars mi'amav. There's karis. So it's two lavs. Le'yisach is lav against smearing. Le'yisasu, lav against making it. But concluding with one karis. One of those, any of these, there's karis. So, b'shogeg, how many karbanos? Two. B'chim yachad lav muchlok. Ask the Gemara. Once you've established this rule, this formula, that the chatas correlates to the lav, one chatas per lav, let's backtrack a bit to yesterday. Karis da choyse, the kos of Rachman Olambli. Why did Torah have to single out another karis regarding getting involved with his sister? And the Gemara taught us it was in order to teach us that if the Achoisai happens to be also mother's brother and sister and father's brother, father, sister, mother, sister, so in a sense he has violated three things. There is three Chatas obligations. Why do we need the Torah to point out that there are three? Automatically there are three, because there are three transgressions, three violations, three lavs. One per status. One for Achoisai, one for Achois Ava, one for Achois Imai. And you just told me that the Chatos is triggered by the lav. The answer is, well, we discussed this yesterday, the Rabbi Yitzchak the Isle, the Rabbi Nachman Boy Lehu, Loi Marshe Neshim Nadin, Kont Rabbi Yitzchak, we need it for his halacha to teach us that if one violates something which triggers a karis, there's no possibility of malchus, according to Rabbanus, to teach us that when you have a sister on both sides, from a father and mother, so it's a full sister with whom he shares a father and mother, there is an einish, and don't think it's just obvious, because if the half-sister is certainly the full sister, we don't generate punishments based on kal v'chaim. Okay. So theoretically, we don't need an extra pasuk, because, you know, the basic halacha that a chatos comes through the lav, so basically a separate lav, several chatas, is already known, but it's to teach us other halachas. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, I want to support this halach that a double lav triggers a double chatas despite a single karis, such as in the case of Mefatim Vesach the Shemana Mishra. Afanan, I'm Tanina, take a look at our Mishnah as well. Amfatim is Hashem. Fatim is Akteris. So he concocts the Shemen, concocts the Teris along the recipe of the Beis HaMikdash. Vasach, Shemen Mishcha, he applies the Shemen Mishcha on himself. That seems a bit out of order. We go from oil to Teris back to oil. Why not just put them, you know, in order next to each other? He concocts the oil and he applies the oil. And then he concocts the Teris. Lomeli the Tana, Petani, and Mafatim Sakteris, but Mitzvah, why do we insert the Kteris? Right in the middle of the oil situation. Oh, Lava Kamashmon. Apparently, isn't the Mishnah coming to teach us this very point? That each one is separate and distinct and triggers its own liability, including preparing the oil, applying the oil, separate chatas, one per, despite being covered under the same kuris. Mak Teris. Lav of Nianz, but just as the Teres is a separate lav, separate from the oil, and therefore it carries its own liability. V'chayavim aleha v'karis v'Nianz, it carries its own karis. Afatim Shem v'Sachnami. Likewise, if one prepares the oil and goes and applies it, even though it's only covered under the same karis mentioning, but since given the lav of Nianz, since each one has its own lav, chayavim aleha v'Nianz, which triggers its own liability, its own chatos. Oh, that's all right, our halacha. Well, hold it. Perhaps the reason for this order in the Mishnah is different, because just, you know, it just matches, it just, the pattern works, because given the Kabbalah Misni, Pitum Badi Adodi, the Mishnah wanted to list, you know, recipes, recipe makings next to each other. Prepare the oil, prepare the Ktiris. And that's why I put it alongside each other. Well, okay, you could have still done that and kept the proper order of things. You could have reversed it. First prepared the Kteris, then over to the oil on both accounts, prepared and applied it. So you have the, you know, two elements of oil next to each other, appropriately. Nis Nifcha could have reversed the order. First Amfatam Sak Kteris, then over to the oil on both accounts. Amfatam is Hashem and Vasach Shemen HaMishcha. Amai Palgil Shemen, why do you split the oil into two? Prepare the oil, then over to the terrorist, and back to applying the oil. Love, hokamashmon, isn't it to teach us this very point? To compare to the terrorist, just like terrorists are separate and distinct. Likewise, all aspects of oil violations are separate and distinct. The ish chiluk chatos b'nei shemim. We know to teach us that each element of transgression carries its own chatos. Habal azoch. Next, a fellow gets involved with another male, or with an animal, or a woman allows an animal to be involved with her. All these are listed alongside the chayav ekrisus. And on the flip side, chiyuv chatas. Now the question is, are we talking about a man or a woman? The reason why the Mishnah mentioned the number, right, started with 36, as we learned yesterday, to teach us that if he violates them all in one sitting, he's chayiv, you know, separately, one per. So out of the 36, really only 34 can bring a chatas. Why we deduct the Pesach and the Milah. Okay, so a total of 34. Now, it's impossible, because what are we talking about? A man or a woman? Either way, we don't get a full count. Tana my kachashav, what's the Tana talking about? Iba Gavri, men, Daloi Shanir Bas, you have to take off the woman violation. The woman who allows the animal, right? Ubash Lachada, so you're missing one. We speak about women, violators, Dalman Hoin, you have to remove the first two that we just discussed, Abola Zohar al Bahema, delete those two, getting involved with another male, or an animal, Basul Tati, missing two. Certainly we talk about men. We have to revise the list a bit. How do we get to the full count? We're missing one, right? Utni Hachi, add like this. Habala Zohar, he gets involved with another male. Vehebi Zohar al Bahema, he allows another male to be involved with him. So, two variations of male to male, in which case, it adds another one. Rabbi Shmuel, I'm following Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, who says, in fact, that there's a separate liability for each variation. Domar Chayev Shtai. Says the Gemara, hold it. Let's proceed. We have Megadev coming up in the list. Megadev is one who Chas v'Shalom curses to Shammai. And that only follows Rabbi Kiva's Shita, who says that Megadev, since it involves verbal expression, is considered enough of a verbal, physical, you know, manifestation, physical act, and there's Chatos, right? Umuk minulaki Rabbi Kiva. Later on, we're going to establish like Rabbi Kiva's Shita. So that's called like Rabbi Kiva. Reishanami Rabbi Kiva. So let's assume that, you know, the whole mission is going like Rabbi Kiva, the first part as well, and it's not going to work if we apply two possible, you know, violations to Zohar. Rabbi Kiva doesn't hold it at. Only Rabbi Shmuel does. Well, maybe, maybe not. Maybe, in fact, you know, the whole mission is Rabbi Kiva, including the first part with the male. Regarding that, Allah Yosef Rabbi Shmuel, that if a person gets involved with another man and brings another man on him, it's chayiv too. But it's not so. Vamar biyavo, habala zochor, vevi zochor alav. What happens if he does both at once? Rabbi Shmuel, he's chayiv too, but going to Rabbi Kiva only one. Rabbi Shmuel, the mabak lemitarti kroy, Rabbi Shmuel learns that I have two separate psukim, so he's chayiv too, one per variation. First is me, ve'ezachol yisirshkav. You male, don't get involved with another male, that's one. And facilitating another male with him, that's another apostle. Ve'miloyeh kadesh, mnei Yisrael. Hence, two sources for two violations and two liabilities. And therefore, chayiv shtayim. But, Rebbe Kiva, ein chayiv l'achas. Rebbe Kiva holds, if he gets involved with both, experiences simultaneously, it's only chayiv one. The mechad korkanafikli, because they both learned that at the same pasuk, so it was done in the same, you know, forgetfulness. There's only one liability. It's all from the same pasuk. As zachal yishkav, you don't get involved with another man. Kribe, we also read it loy sishachev. Don't bring another male to you. So the source in the same pasuk, in which case there's only one liability. So you can't say the mission is going like Rabbi Kiva. Ella, you're right. Reisha Rabbi Shmuel. Part one of the mission is Rabbi Shmuel, and it's chayiv two for the two forms of zachar. And regarding Megadev, so look, Rabbi Kiva, and it's chayiv. Okay, good. Yach, if that's the case, that it's Rabbi Shmuel speaking, that there's a separate liability for each variation of inappropriateness. And yach, the same would apply to the animals. This dinami mission should have added habal behema, vevi behema alav. If he gets involved with the behema and facilitates the behemoth with him, should be chayiv too. For the same reason, it's chayiv too by the zachar. Different variations. Omar Abaye explains, no, not even Rabbi Shmuel, who considers both variations of male involvement as two separate violations. It's only by a person, not by an animal. There's no concept of znus by an animal. It's not really deviating from... It's a different league. So any form of any variation, any format, it's all one and the same violation, and we don't split it into two different distinct violations. Hamra Abaye, Habala Behema, Vevi Behema Love. He initiates with the Behema. He facilitates the Behema with himself. So even though there are two forms of inappropriateness, after Rishmol and Chayv al-Achas, even going to Rishmol, led by the male, is considered two separate distinct violations with two separate liabilities, but by an animal. If he initiates on an animal and facilitates the animal's initiation on him, it's only Chayv one. If it's done in the same experience, the same, you know, hailing. Why? The Chisiv Kro, because the pasuk that we had before, the split the two, it's Begabrik Siv, that's by people, not by animals. Okay, that's one form of settling the question of the number question. How do you get the full count? Answer is talking about the man being involved in different variations. Rabbi Elazar Mishmei de Rav Amar, let me give you another answer. How we get to so many? We don't really. We're talking about males. Tana Tani, Shalish chatois. In fact, the Tana listed 33 cases which trigger chatos. Only 33. What about the number 36? That's to complete the list. Meaning, technically, for one individual, it's a maximum of 33. But how many, in reality, how many do you have on the full list? 36? V'tani shalosh kreses. Lists of yomino b'kreses. And the mission just added another three, which is not really possible under the same circumstance. The woman and the, you know, the Pesach and Mila, right? So all these, even though it's not part of the same experience, look, the Pesach and Mila doesn't even have a karban, right? So it's just, you know, to top off the list of 36 forms of curries. But again, in terms of having them all fall together in one experience, it's a maximum of 33. That's it. You don't have any more by the man. Doctor is safe. I'll even prove it to you. That we're not talking about 36 chatois, because Pesach and Mila, mitzvah say, they're positive commandments. So why is it even mentioned in the mission? There's no chatos there for ignoring the mitzvah say. Pesach and Mila, mag tanilu. V'tei mila su'a carbon alive, is that the trigger of carbon for one who violates? Mimaisi? Why would it be a carbon? Latani, we have a brisa. A carbon is only for an active violation. Because by the discussion of the chatos, it's within the context of a dezara, which is a negative violation, which is an act of isra. And we learn from there. That's the formula. That it has to be something which is an active violation to trigger a carbon, not a passive violation like Pesach or Mila, where he's ignoring a mitzvah. Latani, hukshuk kol ha-Torah kulav, it's kachom, we compare the whole Torah to a dezara, chsiv, Torah achas. Yilchem lo yisar b'shkaga, but nefesh has to be a drama. It's talking about a desire over there. Torah achas. It sets a standard for the whole Torah. Ma avodis kechavim, shev al tase. What's unique about a desire? Sit back. Be passive. Do not violate. And in that case, in fact, there's a chorus if one does. On the flip side, a chatos. If b'shagi, avkol b'shev al tase, likewise. Only a situation which is similar to the extent that you meant to sit back and refrain. In that case, there's a carbon for one who violates, and actually does. But Pesach or Mila is just the opposite. You meant to go ahead and do. So by refraining, there's no carbon. So why is it even in the Mishnah if it's not going to trigger a carbon? Ella Shema Minu, apparently, we're not talking about 36 matching cases. Tana, Shloishim Mishalish Chatois. Ma'an davdi b'shegik. The 36 are split into two categories. 33 apply to the same person, who if he does them all together in one halim, he'll bring 33 chatois. V'ada tana shalosh kreishes l'siminu kreishes shmamin. And then we add another three examples, kares examples, which don't even have a chatos and apply to different situations. For instance, the woman getting involved with the behema or Pesach Hamila, to just complete the full 36 item karis list, shmamina, and machalza Shabbos. So chilul Shabbos is one of the karis generating violations. The question is, why is it only numbered as one item? Aren't it 39 various forms of desecrating Shabbos? Amri, the question was posed: Shabbos arboim chaser achas havin. It's 40, right? 40 minus 1, 39. Why only counted as one? Amrav yechan tana shigigas Shabbos demelachis. Technically, you can trigger many liabilities. But our Tana is speaking about a unique case where, although he knew full and well he was supposed to turn on the light on Shabbos, he was supposed to drive, he was supposed to do all these malachas. He knew full and well, he was aware of that. But he didn't realize today was Shabbos. The shkaga related to Shabbos. The forgetfulness related to the root, Shabbos. So, technically, it's only one shkaga, which covers everything, and it's only one chatas for all malachas. So even though he did many malachas, only chai one chatas to address the root of his forgetfulness. The son is Rav Nabraisa. Pasuk Ger says, "Bachilul Shabbos va'achasa ma'achas mehena me'achas mehena." It's talking about the it's a pasuk, a general pasuk by Chatos. May achas, may heina. Achas sounds like it's one. Heina is many. So the Gemara makes a drush. Heina, at times, one can violate many, numerous, shei achas, which trigger only one liability. How's that? One carbon for many? Yeah. Shigiga Shabbos. He was unaware about Shabbos. And he proceeded with malachis. He was doing malachis, even though he was aware about the malachis. He knew you're not supposed to do all these things, but his forgetfulness relates to one single element, which is Shabbos. As the Gemara listening to doing Shabbos, she gets malachis. So why did the Tana refer to this case, which is only one single chatas? Why not speak about... He knew that it was Shabbos, doing Shabbos, but he was unaware about these malachis. In which case, he's chayav one chatas per malacha, which can end up giving him a long list. Big number of liabilities. Do machayav abayim chasa achas. Can get him up to 39. The sanyas, we have an abraisa, v'asam achas mehena. One to many. Pa'amim shachayav chatas achas al kulan. So we learn that it could be only one may achas on the many. One carbon for everything. Upa'amim shachayav chatas achas. But sometimes the other way around. It could be heina, many, which branched off from this achas, from this single vial, meaning achas heina. How could one branch into many? Zidoyin Shabbos v'shigas malachas. He was aware that today is Shabbos, unaware these are malachas that are usher. So it's one Shabbos which branches off, which triggers multiple violations, multiple consequences. So why did the Tana insist on speaking about the singular consequence rather than the multiple consequence? Tana, Shigal Shabbos de Melchus Adifalei. Tana wanted to highlight this point. That although he was speaking that he was fully aware that these are really considered malachas, it was amazing. But since he was unaware that today was Shabbos, he'll be chai v'chatas. Don't think that since it was done b'mezid, he's potter from chatas. The mechatas milayim iftar. He's not going to get away without a chatas. So that's a chiddush. So even though his experiences were done knowingly and full awareness and full knowledge, and these are malachas, but since he forgot about Shabbos, it's chai v'chatas. But just one for the many violations. Likewise, we find Avodah Zarah. Similar concept, similar formula. It all depends what his unawareness was related to. Sometimes a person can do many acts of avodah zarah, many forms of service, and only be chayav one chatas. If the shgaga relates to the source of his activities, that he didn't realize this is avodah zarah, he didn't realize avodah zarah is us, or etc. Bechena tamoitzik avodah zarah, we find the same avodah zarah, the tani, shigigas avodas kechom, was done avodas. Right, so the same thing with avodah zarah. The reason why the Mishnah by us only counts it as one is because although when it comes to the Avodas, the various forms of service, he was aware that it's Asur, but it was a Shkog that related to the Avodah Zarah itself. That was a source of his mistake, in which case only Chayv one carbon for all his activities. How's that? Shigas Avodah Zarah Mechidami. So I understand on Shabbos you can forget today's Shabbos, but Avodah Zarah, how do you have a concept of a Shkog on the Avodah Zarah itself? Let's explore. Echidam, Ilayma. The Amad Beis Avodah Kecham. Or he's speaking that a fellow standing in a idol worship home. V'savar Beis HaKnesses. He thinks it's a shul. V'shtach when he's bowing. There's no liability for that. He's not even intending for Avodah Zarah. Harei Libo L'Shamayim. His heart is totally aligned with Hashem. He's bowing to Hashem. He's not even expressing Avodah Zarah. He's not worshiping idols. It's the wrong thing. There's no liability for that. Vela de Chazan Tart, rather we're talking that he saw some sort of statue that they do, you know, in honor of the king, some sort of bust. Skidloni bowed to it. So again, what was his intention? Either Kibble Alei Belia, was he submitting himself to that deity, to that idol Bar Skilo? It's not a shkaga, it's not a mistake, he got Skilo. Vidle Kibble Belia, he didn't submit himself to that power. He didn't accepted upon himself as an idol, just, you know, out of honor, out of respect to the, you know, the king's form. Love me do. Once again, it's nothing. It's not idol worship. So how do you have idol worship by mistake? He's not realizing it's not idol worship. Elam avamir. Oh, There's only one way. Avanir, meaning he's worshipping, he's bowing, he's knowing, he knows that he's doing Avodah Zarah, but he's thinking, look, I'm doing it to impress somebody, out of Ava to somebody, to out of Yira, out of fear. He's afraid, so he's doing it, intimidated. So he's intending an act of idol worship, but he's doing it for some sort of ulterior motive, and he's thinking that's okay, let him do that. And that's his shkog, that's his mistake. Honichal Abayda Omar Chayiv. Okay, that's good according to Abayi, who says that in this case he's Chayiv Achatzos. After all, he did idol worship. El Rava Damapada, according to Rava, who was that, look, he wasn't serious about accepting this power, this deity upon himself, so then it's not really idol worship. So then he's part of Michael Amemus. Again, back to the question, why is he Chayiv Karva? The third time he prays. El Abayi Amata. Here's another option. He's bowing, he's offering, you know, Kravat, Rav Dezara, thinking that it's okay. So his mistake is in the halachic realm. So although he did many, many activities, but since at the source he's making a mistake, so it's a shkoga at the source, and it's only one chatas for the whole experience. Now, you know, you can consider that since in this case he's totally in the dark, completely unaware, A, about the isser of Avodah Zarah to begin with, and B, about the specifics of the isser of Avodah Zarah, specific forms of worship. So perhaps he completely should be completely exempt. Of course not. You see, Da'ad kan loikaboi minei Rava me Rav Nachman. Rava already posed a similar question to Rav Nachman back in Masechah Sanhedrin. Rashi brings it on the second line from the top. Helim zevezabiyode, a similar case regarding Shabbos. A fellow who, number one, is unaware at all that there's an Isra of Shabbos, and number two, about the specifics of the Malachis. And then he did Malachis on Shabbos. So the question was, Ella, the question just was, how many liabilities does he have? Do we look at the first thing that he doesn't know about, which is Shabbos, which is a source, the root of the whole thing, so it's just one that covers everything? Perhaps he's chayiv for two, for both malachis, because the focus is on the malachis that he did with unawareness. That's the question posed back in Sanhedrin. Is it one, is it two? But of course, he's chayiv something. Of course, he didn't propose to exempt him completely. So, likewise, in our case, we're talking about Eimer Mutar. He's unaware completely that there isn't even an Isser of worshipping Avodah Zarah, which subsequently led him to do several forms of worship. At least one, it could be Chayiv, for the source, for the root of his mistake. And that explains our Mishnah. He did many forms of Avodah to Avodah Zarah, but since it's all rooted in his single unawareness about the concept, is chayev one chatas only. Rav Papa Amar, here's another solution to this question. How do you have a fellow who's only chayev one chatas for many acts of Avodah Zarah? Papa Amar Mishkachas. Here's the case. Betinaik Shenishba Levena Ivdikichav. He wasn't around observing Jews his whole life. He was taken into captivity as a baby and raised amongst the Goyim. So even today he knows something, the Yada, the Asira of Ivdikichav. So although he's aware about a concept of Isser, it's Dovid Isra. He knows about these specific forms of worship, shechting and all, you know. But what's considered Avodah Zarah? Which ones are asa to worship? He didn't realize. He thought maybe only the one back home is asa to worship, but the ones over here are okay to worship. Vahani Avodah Zarah, and these specific idols, here, Layada Dasun, he didn't know. He knew that it's considered idol worship. He didn't know these are considered asa. So once again, the way Rashi explains, we're talking about a fellow who's doing avodos, forms of worship which he knows are asur, per se, not realizing that it's asur in this context. with this specific idol. So the source, the root of his mistake is really a single, solitary piece of information. So it's one single unawareness and triggers one chatas on behalf of the whole experience. Talking about Tinik Shenishba, by the way, a big discussion about nowadays, if a fellow was brought up in an environment which is not Torah observant, whether he has the status of Tinik Shenishba, and many Paiskim hold that he does, the Chazanish held that way. He says Tinik Shenishba isn't specifically taken to captivity, kidnapped. It refers to anybody brought up in a situation, in an environment, in a community which hasn't really taught him Torah values. So why should he? Why should he take it upon himself? He wasn't brought up that way. Until Be'ezus Hashem, he merits to be exposed and to somehow appreciate the proper Torah way of life. But until that point, it's called Tinuk Shenishba. Interesting Chiddush, Chazanish. You might say, I feel a tame of a gadol. Another option could be regarding our Mishnah. Again, we're looking to address why is it just one chatas on account of so many violations. I feel a tame of a gadol, even if we're speaking about a regular adult, a person that was brought up, in a Torah environment. But once again, we can come up with an example, come up with a case where his many violations are rooted in one single solitary unawareness. Kigoin de gatoi baden kro. He misinterpreted the following pasuk. Pasuk says, we shouldn't get involved in worshipping idols of kesef and zov, gold and silver. And he's thinking, gold and silver only. But let's say it's wood and stone, it would be okay. He misunderstood the pasuk. And he goes ahead and does many forms of worship to gold, to other materials. So it's really one mistake which triggered all his actions. Hence, only one chatas. So far, he figured, ki asir ishtachavo, which idols can I not bow to? Lavi dezor, the chesav azov, silver and gold, avol demini achrini, but other materials. Sharia is okay. Dainu, here's an example of shigas avitz kechom, zadim avoides. He's aware that the avoides, these specific forms of worship, are considered off limits, they're asr. Not realizing that these qualify as idols. Hence, one chatas for the whole experience. Rav Acha bar Dervik Mishmei de Rabbei Vayomar. He said, I'll give you a very simple answer to your question. What was your question? Why only 36 kreses? If Shabbos itself already has 39, if Avodah Zarah has its own, the answer is we're not talking about specifics, we're talking about categories. Tana, our Tana, the Mishnah, shame Shabbos. Shame Avodah Azkacham Ketana. He was referring to the category, the family. Of Yisrael Shabbos, the family of Yisrael Avodah Zarah, which of course encompass many subcategories and many compartments within. How do I know? Mimai, how do I know that our Tana is just listing main categories? I'm bringing it right from the Mishnah itself. The Tani, Habal, Isha Bita, Alisha Sish. Mishnah speaks about getting involved with a woman and a daughter, Isha Sish. Why did the Mishnah leave out getting involved with one's daughter who was birthed from a non-wife? Anusasa, by way of a forced relationship. In any case, a marriage daughter. Which is also Asr. Why isn't that mentioned in the Mishnah? Apparently, the Mishnah is just speaking about head categories, not every specific nitty-gritty detail. Amri, no, but the answer was, the response was on this. You can't prove from the Dechsivan Ketani. Perhaps the Mishnah only cites Isurim which are explicitly stated in the Torah. The Leksim like Ketani as opposed to Bitim and Nusasa, which isn't clearly explained in the Torah. It's learned from Midrasha, so maybe that's why it was left off the list. Okay, it says the Mavayika Bas Bita, or Bas Puna, Dechsivan like Ketani. But there are other examples of explicitly stated Yisurim, in the Pasuk, which were left out of the list in the Mishnah. Granddaughter of a wife. So his wife's daughter's daughter, son's daughter, which are clearly discussed in the Pasuk. and undiscussed in the Mishnah. So it must be, we're not going to have a single variation. Rather, general categories. Elo shem isha bita ktani. Since the Mishnah made a mention to isha bita, so it's the whole concept of isha bita, whether it's first generation of a granddaughter, achanami here as well, regarding Shabbos and Avidazara, it's a general reference to the category which suffices. Shem Shabbos, v'shem avayit chama ketonim. Hence another answer to the question, what happened to all the specifics? Are covered under the Shabbos umbrella. They're covered under the Avodah Zarah umbrella. Rav Acha ben Ravika, Rami, he's going to present an apparent contradiction between Rabbi Abaye himself, delay, something that he said here, as opposed to something he said elsewhere. Mi Amar, Rabbi Abaye Hach, is that true that according to Rabbi Abaye, we're discussing only categories? Shem Shabbos Ketoni, Veshem Avodah Zarah Ketoni, we suffice with categories? Well, Itmar. Listen to this discussion. Hamala Eivorei Pnim Bachutz. Chayiv. A fellow had a carbon that was shechted in the Beis HaMikdash properly. He took the Eivorim, Eivorei Pnim, the ones that were already inside, and took those parts and put them on an altar outside the, offered them outside the Beis HaMikdash. Chayiv. He gets chorus for doing that. Eivorei Chutz Bachutz. Chayiv. Likewise, if he took limbs of a carbon that was shechted to begin with outside the Beis HaMikdash, puts it on an altar, it's chayiv as well. Rabbi had a question. If in fact there are two forms of iser by mala b'chutz, one, internally varm that were taken outside, two, externally varm that were offered outside, if that's the case, hadis non shloshim v'sheish kreisis b'tayros, so why does Mishnah only have 36? One of them is mala b'chutz. There are two subsets of mala. Tlasim v'sheva ninu. It's really 37. The Ika Hamala Vamala, two variations of Hamala. That was his question. Now the question that we have on his question is, I thought that according to him, it's just categories that are listed. My kashli, what was the problem? Nishani, you could have answered, Shem Halokatani, the Mishnah just citing example general categories. Sure, there are two variations of Mala, but we're not getting into it. Says the Gemara, you can't compare. Me dumb. You see, when it comes to Shabbos, we have a whole Masechas Shabbos discussing all the details. We have a Masechas Avodah Zarah discussing the details there as well. Tanu Yosayin, the discussion took place over there already. Abin Kehoin, amongst the Alachis of Shabbos and Avodah Zarah, it's just on our list because it's one of the examples of Kareis. Gabi Kareis, the area belongs there because it's listed amongst the other Kareis, but it wasn't meant as an in-depth discussion of the halacha. So we understand why it suffices with one reference, despite there being many details involved. And therefore, Mishani, he was able to answer, Shem Shabbos Katani, Shem Avitz Kacham Katani. But when it comes to Ha'Allah, Gabi Allah, Mi Tana Yasain Bin Kehain, was it discussed over there, in Mesech HaSvachim over there, the Shaniach, which would justify this answer, meaning these two variations of Amal weren't discussed anywhere. So if anyway, it should be discussed over here. That was the question. Fine. New discussion. Boy Mine Rab Yirmiyah, he had a question from Rabbi Zeira. So earlier we discussed what happens if there are two Lavin with one Kares. So how do we establish the Chiyiv Chatas? Is it two? Is it one? Now we're going to go the other way. Suppose a person violates two transgressions to which the Torah attached a kares, each one separately, but really it's only covered under one lav for both. So it's one umbrella lav to cover both violations, each one which has a separate kares reference. And let's say he did them both by mistake. He brings a chatas. One, on account of the single lav, or two, on account of the double karas. Amar Leis, he says, give me an example. Sheichet umaluka amas, for example, a fellow took a carbon and did shechita, which is one karas, and did ma'ala, you offer the parts on the mizbeach outside. So each one has its own reference of karas in the psukim. And the question is, does it trigger two chatois or not? Very simple. Hani shnei lavininu. Here, it's more than just one kares per, it's also one lav per. Why? Ilam adam gzeira shava. Whether it's through gzeira shava, nema kan hava, by shchita it says hava, lo yevioi. Whenever lahal and hava, by the halo, it also says lo yevien, hava, lo shnava, ma lahal, we compare. Just like by the halo, lo yon ha-shalom kin hizr. So the punishment only comes as a result of a warning, so it's preceded by a lav. Avkan, likewise by shchita. The punishment is only following a lav, a warning. So basically we import the lav from mala to shechet, in which case both have their own lav. According to the other shita, which compares them through a hekesh formula. So once again, the pasuk says he meant to do hala and asiya and shechet in the Beis HaMikdash. So we have this connection, this joint reference to shchita with halo in the same breath. Makish shchita halo. Pasuk is connecting shchita to halo. To tell you, ma lo loyonosh mkin hizr, just like by halo, there's a warning that precedes the punishment of shchita loyonosh, elim kin hizr, likewise by shchita. So the question is really moot, because in this case, actually, there's a lav per iser. So give me an example. I've only one lav for both. Perhaps we're talking about a case where it's not kars, it's misa. Misa applied by the bezdin. Two violations that trigger each one its own misa, but covered under the same law. Mai, for example, but yidaini. Saiv and yidaini are both a bit similar, both tapping into impure forces, impure spirits, but they're done differently. Oiv is where the fellow, the sorcerer, would take the bone from the departed that person, and somehow he would clap together his arms, and somehow that would bring up the maze from the ground. Yidaini is where he takes a bone from an animal called Yadua, puts it in his mouth, and suddenly the bone starts talking. So this is a good example, because these are covered under the same law. You shouldn't have amongst you shayl oiv v'yadayni. So it's covered under the same lav, but it has a separate reference to misa for each one. So here you can consider, perhaps, if he does it b'shayli, both of them, perhaps only one kar chatas because of a single lav, or is it double based on the multiple misas? Amrleis Rav Zera says, Daha, this is your question. Very simple answer. Plukta. The Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish can derive the answer based on the discussion. The machloek is between Reish and Reish Lakish, and the bottom line will be that, of course, there's only one chatas for both violations if they're done, you know, in the same hell and the same experience, right? Okay, where do we have a machloek between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish? The Snan Gabi Hanuskola. We have a Mishnah back in Sanhedrin regarding the Chiv Misa of Skila of Stoning. We have Bal Oiv and also V'Yidoni. They're both deserving of Misa. V'kashlan, the question was posed. Why is it that both are mentioned over there, Bal Oiv and Yidoni, the different forms of worship? Ma'ishna gabi skila is toni Yidoni. Why is it that by the list of skila, we mention the Yidoni as well, but over here, Mesechas Krisis, we leave him out. We only mention Bal Oiv. Gabi Krisis, Leitoni, Yidoni. Here in our Mishnah, look, we only have Bal Oiv, you don't have Yidoni. Why? Amar v'yechnan, hoyl v'shneim l'avechadnem. Oh, for this reason, because they're covered under the same lav. If a person were to do both of them the same, you know, element of unawareness, the same lapse of unknowing, he would only be chayv one carbon. Hence, it's counted as one. As opposed to the niskalim, where if it's done b'mezid, of course, each one gets its own chayv misa. Fine. So he's saying they're both covered under the same chatas. Okay, so why are you picking favorites? Why don't you say Yidoini and leave out the Baloi? Because so far, figures, probably the Pasuk because of Baloi, because he's the first one mentioned in the Pasuk before the Yidoini, so he deserves, you know, the honorable mention. I'll tell you why our Mishnah leaves out Yidoini. There's no carbon because there's no Maisa. What's he doing? He just took the bone, put it in his mouth, and suddenly it's starting to talk. He's merely setting it up. He's causing it. That's not a direct maisa. It's not a physical maasa transgression. which is a precondition for Chiv Chatas. It's only by an Isra that involves an outright physical expression, physical mice. So we continue, bottom line, regarding our question. How many times Chatas for doing Balei V'Nidayin in the same sitting? The answer is only one. Whether according to Rabbi Yechim, because it's covered under the same law, according to Rish Lakish, there is no Chatas at all for Yidayin. Rish Lakish, my time alone with Rabbi Yechim. Now, why didn't Rish Lakish go with Rabbi Yechim's approach? Amar Papa, the Chalukah Nebe Mises. Who cares that there's only one law? The fact is, there's a separate Misa liability per, and therefore, on the flip side, there is a Chiv Chatas, one per. Rabbi Yechim Amar Lach, Rabbi Yechim says no. Chalukah de lav ha-chalukah, when there's a separate lav, that splits it regarding a separate chatas liability as well. But chalukah de misa lav ha-chalukah, just because each one has a separate misa mentioning, it does not trigger its own chatas. Interesting machlekes. Rabbi Yechon, my time alone, Rish Lakish. Now, on the other hand, Rish Lakish was the one who says there's no chatas at all for Yidani, it doesn't involve a misa. Why didn't Rabbi Yechon adopt that approach? Because he holds. In general, you're right. A ma'aseh is needed. But here, our Mishnah, Mantana Krisis, who's the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Akiva. How do I know? Because he applies chatas to Megadev as well, one who curses, right? Shemayim. And that's really not an outright mass, it's just a verbalization. So we're going like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, Damar, Lebeinu Ma'aseh, we don't need a ma'aseh. So carbon is not contingent upon a physical mass. Likewise, it would be a karma by Yidoni, despite its lack of mass. Rish Lakish says no. There are different levels. Neither Akiva Lebayi Masa Rab. Granted, Akiva does not require a grand mass, a serious mass. Even speaking is considered a mass according to Akiva. But Masa Zutabayi, he does need some tangible act, some even a minor masa, something to trigger a karma. And by Yidaini, I don't even consider it a maisa at all. Even Rabbi Akiva would agree. That's below the threshold of masa. Says the Gemara, okay, but Baal Oiv, you agree, is chayav a karma. My masa is bay. Where's the maisa there? Hakashas Reisav, a masa, clapping his arms. That's enough to be considered a masa. What about Megadev? My masa is bay, cursing, why is that a masa? Akim is fast about a masa, kontra b'kiva, moving around his lips. So kontra abonah, that's not sufficient. You need a higher level of masa, kontra b'kiva. That is sufficient masa, but you need at least some degree of masa, some substantial physical expression, speaking, clapping your arms. And only that is a kontra b'kiva, not kontra abonah. Kusaka daituch. Hakashas Ra'isav have a masa zutav l'rabban. Oh, now the Gemara understood that perhaps clapping the arms is one notch above speaking. Speaking is only a masa kontra Rekivan kontra Rabban. But Hakashas Ra'isav that the Baal Oiv does have a masa zutav l'rabban. That's considered enough of a masa. It's a small masa, but it's enough even kontra Rabban. We require a true masa. That's a notch above Megadev, a notch above just speaking. Really? Says the Gemara. The Gemara is going to come out that according to Rish Lakish, it's not so. But that although the Baal Oiv is considered a Masa, that's only according to the Rabbanon, according to Rabbi Kiva, according to Rabbanon. Maybe it comes a Kash. The word at this point figured, it does qualify as mas even according to Rabban. Meisrei b'vayis kechav me'nechayiv alad adav sheish be mas. Chiyav karm b'avei dezor is only if the violation involves a physical expression. Ken she zibach like a shchita t'avei dezor v'kiter he burns, he offers, you know, haktara v'nisach, he pours, v'shtach he bowed. The question was, I understand shchita, etc., that's a masa, but bowing, just moving one's body, shtachavo, less by masa. Why is that considered a masa? Vamar shlokish. Homani Rebbe Kivi. You're right, it's not considered a substantial masa. It's only considered according to Rebbe Kivi. Rebbe Kivi, the Omar who told us all along Megadav is enough. Speaking is enough. Baloiv is Damalei bein a mas. We don't need a mas. So Rish Lakish puts Mishtachva on the same level as Megadav, as cursing. And only according to Rekiva is it sufficient. Rabbi Yechon Amari disagrees. Rechon says, I feel the Tamei Rabbanon. This price can follow even the Rabbanon. Bowing, kfifas ke masay, bowing in a person's height, like, that's a true bodily expression. That's really a masa. Kfifas ke masay have a masa. Even according to Rabbanon, that's a true masa. Mechlal, the sphere of the Rish Lakish. I'll leave it to Rabbanon. Kfifas ke masay, Rabbanon have a masa. So clearly, according to Rish Lakish, bending oneself, bowing, that's not enough of a masa according to Rabbanon. Only according to Rabbi Akiva it is. So, Akash has raised of a masa. If bowing is not considered a masa according to Rabbanon, how is clapping the arms? How is Balayev considered a masa? You're right, says the Gemara. Rish Lakish never meant to say Balayev is a masa according to Rabbanon. According to Rabbi Akiva it is. It's on the same level as bowing, speaking. Velo ki gama Rish Lakish Akash has raised of a masa zuta. You're right, Rish Lakish says. Clapping his arms, the expression of a baloyev, is considered somewhat of a masa. That's only a libid de Rabbi Akiva, contra Rabbi Akiva, who suffices with a low level masa. Abu Rabbanon, or contra Rabbanon, you need a higher level masa. Lava masa, not considered enough of a masa. Interesting, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, bowing is considered enough of a masa, even according to Rabbanon. Says the Gemara Yochi, if that's the case, according to this view, the Rabbanon would exempt a balei from a carbon as well, because it's not considered a masa. My Tony Yitzur Megadav Shem Masa. Why is the Mishnah only exempt Megadav from a carbon, according to the Rabbanon, because it has no masa? And this ni Yitzur Megadav Balei, the Mishnah should put together Megadav and Balei. If we're putting them on the same level of non-masa, Chadam Tadik Tony, you're right. The Mishnah just cited one out of two, but really they're both exempt according to the Rabbanon. So just to organize things, we have various levels of expression. We have a non-masa, which of course is not a masa. We have yud-oini, which, you know, he puts his mouth, the thing in the mouth and starts talking. So according to Rabbi Yechanan, that's sufficient masa according to Rabbi Akiva. Now, Rabbi Akiva certainly has a lower threshold, lower standard of what's considered a masa. So according to Rabbi Yechanan, Yidoini qualifies. According to Rish Lakish, no, even Rabbi Akiva would not consider Yidoini as a masa. But would consider Megadev, would consider Baloiv and Mishnach. According to Rabbi Yechanan, Mishnach and perhaps even Baloiv is considered a masa, even according to Rabbanon. It's enough of a masa to qualify for rochatas. Ask the Gemara, listen to Baloiv, listen to Megadev. Now, according to Rish Lakish, the Chacham would exempt Megadev and Baloiv, because it's not sufficient masa. So why didn't the Mishnah, in its, you know, its exceptions, mention the Baloiv? There's no rochatas because there's no masa, and they'll leave out Megadev. Megadev it's Shrichle, there was a point mentioning Megadev to show that he's exempted from carbon. I would think maybe it's not like the Chamina, maybe we make an exception from a Gadish. Hoy looks if Kuris Limakim carbon. Because the Kuris mentioning of Megadev is discussed within the discussion of the carbon of Avodah Zarah, Mechatos there. So perhaps there is indicating that you bring a carbon on Megadev despite the lack of Masa. Ema Moidel or Kib, maybe Chamur Gitra or Kib, in this case, a carbon is brought despite the lack of Masa because it's in that discussion of karm, kamash mandaloi, comes the mission and says no. There's no masa, there's no karm. Ula amar baloiv dektoni bim katal shade. You had a question why the mission did not exempt baloiv. So one teretz was it did, it just didn't mention both examples of, you know, exemptions. Ula says no. The baloiv discussed in the Mishnah is bim katal shade. That this baloiv is burning stuff, he's offering to the head of the demons. That's a true masa. He's actually doing something. He's burning. So in this variation of Balayiv, even the Chacham would agree there's a carbon. Because it's an Issa with a Masa. Maska la Rava. Ask Rava M'kainainu Oyvidav is Chacham. It's already covered in the Mishnah. We discussed idol worship. This is another variation of idol worship. Elam Rava. Mekatal Shidam Nas Lachabroi. He's not offering a Hakrava to the Shay to worship him. He's just trying to summon him to, you know, to get him to help him tap into sorcery, so it's not considered a dezora. Omele Abayim kein hanuchay b'chover. Well, if he's doing it for that purpose, that's a different Isra. It's called chay b'chover, discussed in the Torah. It's not, there's no chorus there. Omele Atayra, omele chay b'chover, goinze abiskila, says Rava, this is a different variation of a chay b'chover. He's trying to connect him in this fashion. There's a different type of chay b'chover connecting to a shade in this way, this skila. And there are these chorus, and likewise a karma chatas. Velo chayver the chaver de balav hadeinu. So which chayver chaver doesn't have skill? Which is the other chayver chaver discussed in the Torah? It's only a lav. Amrle, he says, kedesanis, we have no brisa. But chayver chaver means he's calling, yeah, he's chanting to the animal. It's a different type of system. Chayver chaver echad chayver gadol, whether he's using his chants to summon large animals, cut no small animals, whether he's chanting to the snakes and scorpions, chayiv is chayiv. So that's a different type of chayiv chavar, which is only a lav without amabai. Therefore, haiman deboi lo mitzmat, zibur of akraba. The person trying to put together a zibura, some sort of insect, and an akraba, a scorpion, also you can't do that by way of chanting, even though they're small, insignificant things, including the Isra of Chay Berchav. But because of Basrei, if they're chasing him and threatening him, sure, then it's okay. Ask the Gemara. Lo Rabbi Yechon, the Omar Kfifas Kemos Abamas. Let's go back to Rabbi Yechon, who had a bit of a lower threshold than Rabbi Rish Lakish regarding the what's considered a mas. He said, according to the Chachamim as well, bowing qualifies as a mas, even according to Chacham. So the question is, why is bowing yes and speaking, cursing, not? Akima Sfasov should also be a mas. We turn to Dalar Manav. The Rabban Nami have a mas. Megadev, which is cursing, it's also a mas. There's some movement. Says the Gemara Gabi Megadev, right? Amarav Eshani Megadev Hoyel Veshna Balev. I'll tell you why Megadev is out. Although there is some, you know, lip movement, some minor physical expression, but it's rooted in the heart. The core, the essence of his transgression is sitting in his heart, in his kavan, in his intent, and where he's directing his words. That's the ikar of the isra. And therefore, that's not considered a physical act. His intent, his thoughts, his feelings, which are the essence, are not considered a mas. Aval ba'almo, akimas vasav ha'mas. But you're right. Typically, if it's not rooted in the heart per se, so verbal expression, movement of lips, and likewise bowing, is sufficient to qualify as a masa, even according to Rabbanan, to trigger rechatas. Mas Rabbi Zira. Remember, Bryce, yotzo edim zayimin, shein ben masa. The false witnesses, right, they get punished, but there's no chatas there, because there's no masa. What do? They just testify falsely. There's no physical act. The question is, what do you mean? They spoke. The pasuk says, "Apishnai made them." It's their word. It's their testimony that triggers the whole experience. The isser is being expressed with words. Amarava, once again, it's true. It's expressed with words, but the essence of the isser is elsewhere. Amarava shani edim zaymin. Edim zaymin is different. Why? Shani edim zaymin hoyel v'yeshna b'riya. You see, it's not their words per se that are getting them in trouble. What then? The fact that they're falsifying their status, their pretend witnesses. Let's go to Rashi around 8 lines from the top. Hoyel v'yeshna b'riya. Ikar edusam b'riya sa'ayin shvid ma'ro ma'sharo hukal chashim mas. They're falsifying. They're pretending. We were there. We saw that and that, right? So it's not their words per se. If they were saying the truth, it wouldn't be an issue. Nothing wrong with the words that they're saying. the fact that the fact that they're presenting never happened. That's the issue. Interesting. So once again, it's not the words per se that are the essence of the violation. In which case, you know, the element of falsification is not something tangible. It's not considered a life sheish b'mais, and therefore there's no chatas as well. Okay, so we discussed a case where we have two laven with one kares. It came out that there's two chiyuv echatas, one per lav, despite the single kares. And we discussed the list in the Mishnah, the numbers, how to substantiate the number 36. Came out that talking about the man, and really it's only 33 variations that can happen, the same, you know, person. The other three are just to complete the list. We have Chilul Shabbos and the Gezerah. Why is it only counted as one? That's several terutzim to explain why you'd only be chayv one chatas on account of the many violations. And we have another terrorist that we're discussing just main categories: Shem Shabbos, Shem the Gezerah. And we discussed a case where we have two Yisurim, like Oiv and Yidon, each one deserving its own Misa, but it's covered under the same law. It came out that really there was no possibility of getting a double Chatas, because Yidon would be part from Chatas, either because it's covered under the same law, or because there's no Masa. And we discussed the Masa precondition for Chatas. We have Shitas Chacham, always require a Masa, and what qualifies as a Masa was discussed as well. We have Shitas Rekiva, who doesn't have the same level of requirement regarding Masa. He says even Magadif, Akimas Fasov, qualifies as a Masa. All the best to you, Natzlacha.